us. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and that meant they were giants. So we saw these 10, 12 feet tall men there, and they were huge. So the people are strong, the cities are walled, the walls are great, and on top of all of that, giants are in the land. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now they're saying, and not only is all this going on, but we'll be surrounded by our enemies. Verse 30, and Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. That's a big difference, isn't it? Shh. Let's go now. Who cares how big the walls are? Who cares how big the giants are? God has given us the land of Canaan. But the men that went up with him said, you've got to be careful who's with you. You've got to be careful who you're hanging out with. Caleb said, let's do it. And those that were with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we are. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, or through which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And this verse 33 is my text. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And in addition to that, we were also grasshoppers in their sight. We were as grasshoppers in our sight, and because we were grasshoppers in our sight, so we were in their sight. I want to talk to you today about overcoming the grasshopper mentality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. I desperately need you. I feel such an unction in this house. You're probably going to have to hold me back a little. Give me some temperance today that I can speak the words of life to this beautiful people. I'd like to see someone encouraged today. I'd like to see depression just pushed off. I would like to see anxiety and fear say, we got to get out of here and hit the back door, Jack, and don't come back. God, I'm praying today right now that someone that came in here suffocating and smothering and feeling as if there's no one and can do nothing in you, that they'll leave here knowing differently because you have called us to great things. You've called us to change the world, and world changers have to have their heads screwed on right. And so I'm praying, God, that you'll give our minds peace today, that you'll give us rest in our minds and teach us a better way of thinking. And Father, we'll be very careful to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Somebody shout amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If you have served the Lord for any amount of time at all, probably any amount of time over 30 seconds, anybody served the Lord longer than 30 seconds, you've probably come to the conclusion that the vast majority of our fight is in the mind. I see some of you shaking your head. Some of you haven't quite tuned in yet, so you'll catch up here in a little bit. 2 decades worth of fighting and VA systems, let's just get her back where she was and leave it alone. Thank you. Praise the Lord. We set. Brother Greg, we okay? Okay, so I don't guess he touched anything. It just went bonkers. The devil knows what's going to happen today. 21 years of praying and fighting and fasting and Bible and church, 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 church. You'd think that we would conquer everything. I've gotten to where I don't care what my enemies say about me anymore. I found out yesterday that whenever I grow a beard, I make all the men in the church grow beards. And when I shave, I make everybody else shave. That's right along with that doctrine that we have assigned seats and all of that. And those things used to bum me out, man. I'd get so upset. And now I'm just like, That's going to be good preaching material. I'm going to tell the saints about that tomorrow. I've overcome a lot of things, and I've learned how to overcome a lot of things. But still yet at 2 o'clock in the morning, or even on high times when everything seems to be going great, I wake up in the morning and there's that warfare. And you can't help me because you can't get into my mind. That's one of the things folk always want pastor to help them with, their warfare and their fight. If I can get you a hamburger, I can do that. I can mow a yard. I can get a lot of stuff done because I know a lot of people. And I'll delegate. But I can't help you in your mind. I can't help you. I may be able to give you some advice. I'm going to try to do that today. But at the end of the day, the warfare of the mind is just that, it's your warfare. And you desperately need God to help you. You know, they say to me a lot of times, not necessarily here, but in other churches, a pastor, they said, you know, I'm thinking about moving to such and such state. And I said, it's not going to do you any good. They said, I just can't handle it anymore. I can't stay here anymore. I said, it's not going to do you any good. I said, why? I said, because you can't run from the problem when you are the problem. Help me, Jesus. He would if you'd let him. The mind is a thing that we must conquer. Our physical battles, even those things, a lot of times I believe the sicknesses that come upon us are not about your body, it's about your mind. Are you with me? I think a lot of times the physical issues that come upon us, if it is an attack from the enemy, it's not even about your physical body, it's about your mind, because your mind is powerful. It is how we serve God. We serve the Lord with our minds. I think, I reason, I pray, I meditate, I judge, I make decisions, I commit to God, I hold to things with my mind, and if my mind isn't focused, I can't pray anymore. I can't think anymore. When I'm not focused, I can't preach. Begin to stutter and stumble. I do that anyway, but I lose something. There's something that's not there when I'm not focused. And so the enemy might attack me over here. And while I'm trying to figure out why he's attacking this, really all he's wanting to do is stop me from becoming focused. He doesn't want me to operate with my mind clear. He doesn't want you to preach or sing or be a mother or be a father with a clear mind. Because if your mind is clear, God can thunder into a still mind. The enemy doesn't want your mind to be still. God can talk to a mind that is not cluttered with things. When your mind is stayed upon the Lord, he can whisper. He doesn't even have to thunder anymore. We say, God, speak to me. God says, I've been speaking to you for days, but you're so busy. You're here and you're there and you're thinking about this and you're so overcome with that. That's why Jacob said, I was left alone to wrestle with the Lord. It wasn't an accidental thing. When you go back to Genesis, it says, and Jacob was left alone. It was an intentional maneuver on God, because Jacob is now on the run from Esau, and Esau's on his trail, and he says, I'm going to kill you. All this stuff that you've done, you've taken my birthright, you stole my blessing. And Esau, the older brother, says, I'm going to kill you, Jacob. And Jacob can only think about one thing, and that is running for his life. And God says, Jacob, I need to talk to you. I need to revolutionize your life. I need to speak to you and take you to the next level, but I can't, because you're always looking over your shoulder. You're worried about Uncle Laban. You're worried about Esau. And I can't minister to you because you won't shut up long enough that I can talk to you. And the Bible says that God puts Jacob in a place where Jacob is now alone, where God can wrestle with him. You should thank God that he'll get you alone and wrestle with you. I feel so alone, Pastor. You should throw your hands up right now and say, God, thank you for getting me alone so you can speak to me, because I'm so busy that you can't thunder into my mind. I pray for God to give me sensitivity to the Spirit almost every day. I would encourage you to pray the same. I don't want God to have to thunder to me. I don't want God to have to blow the house up. I don't want God to have to allow sickness to wreak. I don't want any of that. I want God to be able to say, David. And I say, I'm here, Lord. Speak, your servant hears. Simon Peter's walking on water. He done great. He's walking on water in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the sea. He's doing wonderful as long as he sees Jesus. As long as he sees Jesus, as long as I see Jesus, I can do stuff that amazes people. They say, how does Lamb doing it? I'm not. I'm walking, and he's putting his hand underneath my foot. I take another step, and he's helping me. I'm not doing this. I'm doing what I always do. I walk, but he is sustaining me in an impossible situation. The reason you're still alive right now, the reason some of you are not in debt and in hell right now, the reason you didn't overdose, the reason that the gun didn't go off, the reason some of the things happened that didn't happen, the reason that car didn't hit you right there but he hit you on the side was because God had his hand on you. Somebody help me preach. God has never left you. He's never walked away from you. He will always be there. The problem isn't whether he's there or not. The problem is, do you see him? So the winds become boisterous. The waves are splashing and everything is going chaotic. And Peter loses his focus and he begins to sink. And some of you right now are beginning to sink. And some of you, it's like a never-ending perpetual cycle of beginning to sink, walking on water, beginning to sink, walking on water. And I'm so frustrated with that because you have a God that paid the ultimate price that you can walk on water. It is not God's will for you to live depressed. It is not God's will for you to lay awake at night wondering, who is God going to send my way? You ought to lay down and sleep like a baby because he already came by your way. His name is Jesus. Always waiting for a situation to unfold so you can be happy. And God said you ought to be happy with me. You can have joy in Jesus. You can have long suffering and goodness and patience. You can have rest and peace in your mind. There is a God that loved you who shed his blood for you. And you're acting like you're not even his anymore. You're acting like you're some kind of a stray off the street. God's got no orphans. He paid for us with his blood. I am a born-again, blood-bought child of God. You might as well shout amen. We all, every one of us were born with a mentality, a set of glasses placed upon our face when we were born. And we were taught to think certain thoughts and we were taught to think a certain way. And what that did, and it's impossible not to do that. We have to teach our children something, and the only thing that we can teach them is what we know. The problem with that is it creates this impossible scenario that when truth enters in to challenge your concept of truth, and you won't allow the truth to enter in because mama told me. Daddy taught me, grandpa said, grandma said, but the thing about it is somebody taught grandpa, and somebody taught great-grandpa, and very often we have taught false things who are teaching false things, and we have this set of glasses laid up on our face, and the only way we know to think is the way we were taught to think. And there comes a point where each and every person in this room has got to come to the realization that I may be wrong and what I was taught may be wrong. And we know that there is only one absolute truth, and that is the word of the living God. There comes a point where you have to say, God, erase my mind and teach me the truths of your word. I need to know what you say. I need to have the mind of Christ. I don't need the mind of Lamb. I hope you love me. I hope you listen to me today. But you don't need my mind. You need the mind of Christ today. You need to overcome your thought life. You need to overcome. And you say, I'm trying. And you're so frustrated right now. I see it in some of you. You want to give in, but you can't give in because you love God. But you're frustrated. And there's this impossible equation. And it's on the board. And it looks like it's so simple. And I come up here and say, the answer is 26. And you're saying, I know you said that, Pastor, but I'm not understanding how to get there. How are you getting 26? And it's an impossible. You're so frustrated because I'm telling you that you can have peace, and you're telling me I'm trying, but I don't have it. I'm telling telling you you're going to have joy, but you're telling me I don't see it. I'm trying to explain to you, it's not in me, it's not in this church, it is in Jesus Christ. And if you'll find the presence of the Lord, you're going to find that there is joy unspeakable and full of glory. My God, I feel like preaching today. Frustrated. And some of you have gotten to where you have been depressed for so long, it has become a part of who you are, and you don't believe there can be a change because you think in order to be changed that God would have to change you. No, you've got to put your faith in God. He already changed you when He saved you, but you've got to come to the reality that faith gives me power. Faith says, if I live, I live unto the Lord. Faith says, if I die, it's all right. I'm just changing addresses. I'm going from 131 to the big sky. I wish you'd help me preach. We are living inside of the grandest, most glorious age the world has ever seen. But we live like victims when we should be living like victors. We are powerful. I need to preach a little while. Perspective is everything. I threw a picture of a duck up on the screen. And y'all trying to figure out why in the world this pastor got a picture of a duck up on the screen. Because it's not just a duck, it's also a rabbit. It's a rabbit. Look. It's a duck. It's a rabbit. It's both. But some of us are duck people. We've been taught duck, duck, goose, duck, duck, goose, duck, duck, goose. And God is trying to say there's a rabbit in the middle of that. There's a rabbit in the middle of that. Failure, failure, failure. Failure, failure, failure. Depression, anxiety, and bitterness. Depression, anxiety, and fear. Depression, anxiety, and a bit all of these things. And God is trying to tell us there's joy inside that duck. There's joy inside of the bitterness. There's peace. But you're going to have to learn to cock your head to the side and say, I refuse to keep on thinking like I've thought. If the Bible tells me that there's joy in Jesus, I may have to crane my neck a little. I may have to step to the side, but I refuse to die in this place. I refuse to die in this depression, in this bitterness. I refuse to die like this. Just because you don't see the rabbit doesn't mean it's not there. Hey, I'm looking at you. It's there. You listen? It's there. You listen to me, Aaron? Just because you don't see the rabbit, it's there. Y'all listen to me back there? You hear me? Sometimes you got to back up from a thing. Back up. A recipe for disaster. Say that with me. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Say it again. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Just because you don't see joy doesn't mean it's not there. And I need to tell you something. Joy is not a destination, my brothers and sisters. How many are saved in this house? You have the Spirit of the Lord dwelling inside of you. Did you know that joy is a fruit of the Spirit? Do you understand what I'm telling you? That right now, in the middle of your chaos, the Spirit of God is in the middle of you. And if the Spirit of God is in the middle of you, you've got the fruit of the Spirit there, ready to erupt, explode in your life. That means you may have come in beat down. But if you'll let God, He's going to pick you up, and He's going to let you skip again. He's going to let you dance again. He's going to let you smile again. Is there anybody needs to smile again? Is there anybody in this house that's tired of hearing the voice in your head over and over saying, you're going down, you're going down, you're going down? Who told you that? Who has the authority to cancel out the purpose that God has got in your life? If God said you're going over, you cannot go under. It doesn't matter if you see a life raft. God doesn't need one. He'll speak to the winds and waves and make them lay down, and you'll walk on those things that are trying to kill you. He's after your mind. He's after your mind. He's got some of you enslaved, ground tied. Big old powerful horse. You could do it to an elephant. You can ground tie an elephant. You can take a little elephant as a baby and you put a rope around its neck and you pull its head down and you wrap it around a stake and you do that and you leave it there for a couple hours and you do that every day for weeks and weeks and weeks and months. And even though that elephant is huge and could hook up to your car and pull it off the property, all you have to do is drop the rope and the elephant drops its head. I'm telling you you're free. You're telling me you're not, but I'm telling you that whom the Son has set free, He's free indeed. I'm not telling you that you feel free. I can't control that. But I am telling you that if you're saved and you're covered under the blood, you're free. So the problem isn't God. The problem isn't the pastor. The problem is you. You've got to get it in your head. Some of you are ground tied. God freed you from drugs. God freed you from alcohol. But every time you get a whiff of it, you start looking, you're ground tied. You need to do away with that junk and walk on. Some of you are so lonely. You say, I don't know how I'm going to live without you. You're ground tied. God has freed you from all of that mess. Don't you think it's time that you raise your head up and say, devil, I will no longer let you chain me down in my mind. It's amazing to me. You go to Exodus chapter 1. It's amazing to me that you've got Israel. There's millions of them. Millions of them. Some say estimate 3 million Israelites living inside of Egypt. There are more Israelites inside Egypt than there are Egyptians inside of Egypt. Who knows this? Everybody knows it, but Israel. Pharaoh's counselors come to him. Pharaoh died, and a new Pharaoh rose that didn't know Joseph and didn't know the God of Joseph and wasn't accustomed to all of Joseph, the man of God who saved everything. He didn't know anything about Joseph, and this new Pharaoh comes up, and his counselors come to him around the beginning of his inauguration, the beginning of his reign, and they said to him, Pharaoh, Israel is much more in number, many more of them in multitude, and they're a lot stronger than we are. And if they choose to do so, they can rise up and take the whole country. You remember the text, Exodus chapter 1. They're in 400 years of bondage. At any moment, any second, all they got to do is change their mind. I'm not a slave anymore. Walk into the palace and say, excuse me, you're sitting on my seat. Egypt knows this. So what do? The Bible says they make the Israelites' life bitter. They beat their backs. They whip them. They enslave them. They molest their wives and their daughters. They take their sons and put them in the fields. And they afflict them. They afflict them. They afflict them. And they begin to break them. They begin to push them, oppress them. You know what it was? It was a battle for the mind. The enemy didn't want Israel to think. we're more powerful than the enemy. The Egyptians didn't want the Israelites to think we're more in number, because the Egyptians knew that at the moment that Israel realizes who they are, the moment that Israel realizes whose they are, they're going to rise up and take back everything that the Egyptians had stolen from them. It's always about the mind. The enemy wants your mind. He's got some of your minds right now. You're not even going to hear this sermon today. You're going to yawn. You're going to walk out the back door and say, I wish we'd have went to church somewhere else. And God has got your number today. Some of you can't enjoy your marriage. You can't enjoy your children. You can't enjoy your life. You're not happy. You're miserable. But at any moment that you would decide, I am a child of God, you can rise up and take back everything the enemy has stolen from you. And we look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, and I'm not going to give you the whole story. I'm going to move. But you remember, Moses brings them out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They came down to Kadesh Barnea. I preached that last Sunday. They're at the Jordan River. All they can do is go across and take the place. They send these 12 spies over for 40 days are there. They're looking to see if they can take it. Joshua and Caleb is looking to see how they're going to take it. There is a big difference. There is a big difference. 10 spies said, I wonder if we can. Two of them said, we've taken this place. We just got to figure out what direction to attack from. I wonder what mentality that you're of today. Are you one of them sitting there saying, I wonder if I can make it out of here? Or are you one of us going to stand and say, I'm just looking for how. I know I'm coming out. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But at 3:07 Thursday, I'm coming up out of here. I will not die in this wilderness. Is there anybody here that's got faith that God is able to make a way out? They come back and they tell Moses, they say, it is everything they said it is. Why is Canaan important? This is the place that God has told them over and over and over. It's the thing that kept Abraham marching when he didn't know where he was going. They said, where are you going, Abram? He said, I don't know. I'm just sojourning. I'm just walking. I'm going looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And they laughed at him and they mocked him. But God had told Abram, I'm giving you a land. And they passed that promise down, Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob, Jacob to his sons. And now here we are standing on the brink of a promise. And they said it's everything that God said it was. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It is a place that we could grow anything. But there are high walls and there are giants in this land. And I don't know if we can take it or not. Hey, listen to me. God knew there was giants in that land 1,000 years before. God doesn't care about giants. If you'll step across the Jordan, God is going to give you victory. You're going to help me preach today? This is what they said. I've talked to you about this a time or two, but this is what they said. They said, we were as grasshoppers in their sight. It's funny. That's funny to me. Because they did not go down to a giant. Say, hey, you. What do you think about me? I'm a grasshopper. Oh. That's not how it happened, Brother Tom. They were spies. They said, we were grasshoppers in their sight. And they saw us as grasshoppers. We saw ourselves as grasshoppers, and because we saw ourselves as grasshoppers, we know that they did too. I like what Henry Ford said. Henry Ford once said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Let me say it again. That's a good one, isn't it? Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. I said, you're right. I can't. You're right. But at the moment that you decide to say, I can. I'm in a Christian church, right? We understand that everything I say is rooted and grounded in Christ. You understand that? I don't have to qualify myself over and over and over. You know that I'm telling you that in Christ, I can. I can. Here's the thing that amazes me. And we say, well, I'm just down right now. That's the reason I'm not praying like I need to. That's the reason I went in church last night. I just am down right now. And so Pharaoh in Egypt is beating their backs, and their backs are bloody. But the Bible says the more they afflicted Israel, the more they multiplied. There is never a point that you have an excuse for not multiplying. And I'm going to tell you why, because Romans 8:28, you remember what it says? All things work together for the good of them that love God or the called according to His purpose. That means whatever you're going through right now was not meant to break you. It was meant to make you. Somebody help me preach. I know that you thought you were going down. God said, I'm not letting it take you down. I'm going to let that build you up. I'm going to teach you some wisdom that you're going to need next year, because your paths are going to cross with somebody else, and they're going to need to know what you've been through so they can make it out, because I'm going to send them over here, and they're going to cross paths with a 17-year-old young lady who's going to cross paths with a 20-year-old young man who's going to go to China and win 1 million souls. You got to learn a lesson that you're in right now. Everything you're going through, if you'll trust in God, it will work out for your good. They multiplied. It is also the testimony of the New Testament church. Acts 8:3-4, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing them, pulling them out of their houses and committing them to prison. Verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. They were beating them, afflicting them, pulling them out of their houses. And the more that they scattered, the more they pushed them and scattered, the more damage they did to the enemy's kingdom. If you could envision this right here, a house full of wheat. Well, God picked up the wheat, and the enemy blew and thought he was destroying them. But when it was done, all he did was scatter wheat all over the world. And what went from a house full ended up being billions of people in the kingdom of God. That is who we serve. We serve a God that said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. I should be an overcomer today. Are you an overcomer today? I'm talking to you now. I'm not just up here preaching because I like it. I do like it. But I've got something to talk to you about today. You're hindering the church because you're not allowing God to be everything that He can be in your life. You can't get your stuff together long enough for God to use you. And it's all in the mind. It's time to get the head straight. Wherever your head's pointing, that's where you're going. You ever try to drive looking over your shoulder? Not a good idea. You ever try to drive looking out the window, the mirror? You ever try to drive looking out? It's not a good thing. You start looking, you start pulling. You look on that too long, you start pulling. You look over your shoulder, you're going to start pulling. That's what some of you do. I know that you're still going forward, but you are headed toward a tree. You need to correct the course. Get your eyes focused on God. What did David say in Psalm 121:1? I will lift my eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. Verse 2, who maketh the heavens and the earth. My eyes are not on you. My eyes are not on the problem. My eyes are not on the storm. My eyes are on the King of Kings. It's time for you to get your head straight. Somebody say, get my head straight. You got to get your head right. Amen. All right. They lost the promised land. 40 years. 40 years. It's 11 days journey from Red Sea to Canaan, some scholars say. Now it's going to take them 40 years to get into the land of promise. Why? Not because of giants. You got to stop that. You always blame the giants, and I'm so tired of it. Other churches can blame whatever they want to blame, but if I'm going to be your pastor, you're going to stop blaming the giants. You're going to stop blaming walled cities. You're going to stop blaming Jordan Rivers. You're going to stop blaming this one and that one. I want you to understand that they missed out on the land of Canaan, not because of any exterior thing. They lost out on Canaan because of a misconception of who they were. They said, we are grasshoppers, therefore I can't scale that wall. We
are grasshoppers, therefore we cannot take those giants. Did it ever cross your mind that if you would have asked God, who am I, instead of asking the enemy, God, who am I? You know what he would say? Read John 3:16. That's who you are. You are everything to me.
Grasshopper people are timid. They won't take the land of Canaan because they think they're too weak. Women with grasshopper mentality don't believe they become the incredible mother that they were called to be, the incredible wife they were called to be. Because I'm too weak. The men in this house don't see themselves as being powerful and anointed and gloriously unctioned by the Holy Ghost because I have a grasshopper mentality. We want the church to explode. We want Revival Tabernacle to grow, and it is. I know that. I see it in your eyes. I see you growing. But some of us are still stuck with a grasshopper mentality. Can God use me like that? Yeah, if you will let him. It was never about you. If you'll empty out and let him cleanse you and let him fill you, there is nothing that will be impossible to you. God has called you. God has equipped you. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you.
We got to overcome this mentality. I need to preach a little bit longer. Will y'all let me? Are y'all okay with that? I need you to take a deep breath and focus, all right? Give me just a little bit of time. I love you. And I need to deposit some things into your mind because it's all about the mind.
Genesis 1:26 says that God made us in his image. Now, you're talking about 6,000 years ago, roughly. When God made us in his image, God is spirit. I'm not spirit. God is spirit, and he's not flesh and blood. Of course, Christ, the incarnate, glorified body of Christ, is in heaven. But God, in his essence, is spirit. And when he said, I have made man in my image, he was only spirit. I am not spirit. God was not saying that I made them with mucus glands and eye ducts and earwax. God is a mind. He is a mental faculty. He is able to think and reason. He knows right from wrong. And God says, I'm going to make man with the ability to think. I'm going to make women with the capacity to reason. Somebody say amen. I need you to understand that you are not a body with a soul. You are a soul that lives inside of a body. Long after this body has went back to dust, long after this body has went back down into the ashes, I will be dancing around the throne of God. I will be leaping and praising him because I am not a body with a soul. I am a soul or a mind. I have the power to think. I have the power to reason. You cannot make me do anything that I don't want to because God has fearfully and wonderfully made me. I am able to do anything in the name of Jesus Christ.
John, 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I'm talking to your soul right now. That thing is hearing me. And you're trying to figure out if I'm crazy, if I'm right. What's he saying? Did he just say that God don't have wings? Maybe I'll be chewing on that for a while. We're also birthed by him, but he's not feminine. He's not got a womb. There's a lot of terminology in the Word of God that we have so we can better comprehend. I got to get away from that. That'll sink the ship quick. Somebody say, our God is awesome. Do you know that he goes beyond our perception? We can't understand who all he is because he is eternal. And he's got a plan for you. He's made you with the ability to think. We weren't raised to think. Thinking is not celebrated where I come from. If you're a thinker, you're dangerous. If you reason, if you think, if you ask questions, you are rebuked. You are scolded. That's why I have to come to the pulpit every so often and say, listen, if I preach something that you don't understand, you don't have to jump out the window and shake your fist at me. You can come and ask me, say, Pastor, could you please explain that to me? And oh, I will have the most glorious time doing it. We are to think. Sometimes you've just got to stop moving. Stop talking. Take a deep breath. Think. Is this as bad as the voice in my head is telling me? Have I ever come through anything like this in the past? Because I probably have. And if I come through this then, and I'm still saved and God is with me now, devil, I'm coming out of this one too. Husband, I'm coming out too. Ex-wife, I'm coming out too. Boyfriend, Jake Leg, I am coming out. You're not helping me, but I'm telling it right anyway. If you will let God, He will teach you His wisdom today. He said, I want your soul. I want you to be in good health. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. Can I say it again? You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. Every thought is negative. Woe is me. How will I come through it? Some of you mamas need to straighten up. My children, this and the little devil's little brats. Those aren't little devils. Those are little men of God, little ladies of God. They're going to change this world. I'm losing my mind. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Your mind isn't yours to lose. It's God's. He bought it. Let Him have my God. You need to stop talking about my sister like that. You better stop. I'm going to come down there and get some of y'all. I don't know. I don't care what you did yesterday. Are you under the blood? Let's go. Let's rock. Let's come on, saints of God. It's time for us to think right. My God, some of y'all got such stinking thinking. You need, sir. My Lord, help us. I think some of y'all got so open-minded, you just let anybody stick anything in that they want to. You need to erase all that. Let the slate get wiped clean and let God start thundering into your heart. Let God start thundering into your mind. How can I die? I shall not die, but live. I'll declare the works of the Lord. You're not going to make it. All your kids are going to end up in hell. Devil, you a liar. I'm going to give my children to God. My babies belong to Jesus. I'm going to pray like never. My God, you don't have to listen to the lies of the devil today. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As she thinks in her heart, so is she. As she thinks in her heart, so is she. You think it's what you become. I'm nobody. Yeah, I'm pumping it up today. Yes, I'll be at church. I don't care. I like it. I've been preaching so hard. I feel like encouraging some folk today. I'm so tired of depression controlling you. I'm so tired of you going to bed at night saying, how am I going to do it? I'm tired of it because it was never yours to do in the first place. I want to see some folk throw in a towel of surrender today. I want some folks say, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and concede that I can't do it in myself. I tried. I blew it up. I tried. I messed it up. God, I think I'm going to let you have a shot now. I'm going to come to this. If I got sin in my life, I'm going to repent right here. I'm going to let the blood wash me. I'm going to get up. I'm going to give my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength to God, and I'm going to let God be a mother through me. I'm going to let God be a daddy through me. I'm going to let God rule and reign in my house. My God, as you think, that's what you are. What do you think? What has God placed in you? What kind of vision is God? What kind of man of God do you see yourself becoming? What kind of husband do you see yourself coming? Brothers, listen to me. You got to grow up. You got to realize that you're powerful. You're not some chump that fell off a wagon and God didn't have anybody better to choose. You're a powerful man of God. But you got to know it in your mind. God doesn't do anything halfway. He has called you. You need to raise up and let God be God in your life. Can I give you some scripture? I'm preaching way too long, but I've got a lot that I need to say. Listen. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That is the first and great commandment. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. You can't love God with all your mind if your mind is cluttered with everything else. Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have exhausted your resources praying about the situation. You have exhausted your resources praying about jobs and money and houses and where to live and where to move and who to marry and blah, blah, blah. You have exhausted your time. You have exhausted your strength. And the whole time you should have been saying, God, transform my mind. Teach me how to think. I know I can get out of this. I know that you made a way for me to escape. I just don't see it because I got my mind messed up. God, would you transform my mind? Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. I want peace. How can I have peace? I keep my mind stayed on God. I want us to go to war for our minds again. Will you do that? Revival Tabernacle, listen to me. It's time to serve God with all your mind. Some of you need your minds transformed, renewed. He'll do that. Are you saved? How did you get saved? We're saved by grace through, what's the conduit? We're saved by grace through. Grace is the source of our salvation. Faith is a conduit. I don't have to debate that with you. I don't come in here every Sunday and try to convince you that you're saved. You know you're saved. If you can believe that God can take a black, stony heart and make it white as a driven snow, pure, and put his life inside of you, why can you not believe that God, right here in this service today, can touch your mind and transform it? It's time to start thinking Jesus, 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 Jesus. It's time to start getting your minds stayed on him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Colossians 3:2, set your affections or set your minds and keep them on things above, on higher things, not on the things that are on this earth. Set your affections. If you set something up on a shelf, you do it intentionally and you leave it there, right? You know what the Word of God is telling us to do? It's telling us to take our affections and set them on God and get your hands off of it. Let your life be set in God and get your hands off of it. The enemy says, I'm going to take your life. You say, no, because it's not yours. I gave it to God. I set it in. Are you hearing me today? It's in your power. It's in your hands today. God is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what God is saying to you. Now, I'm asking you as your friend, as your pastor, as a spiritual father of this house, will you take your affections? Will you choose today to take your mind and set it up on God and walk away, casting all your care upon him? For he cares for you. He wants everything you got today. Let me move on. Philippians 4:6-8. Be careful or be full of care for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I need God to keep my mind. Is there anybody still listening? I need God to keep my mind. Paul said, don't be full of care over anything. If something is in your mind and has taken away the peace of God, it is a sin. It becomes an idol. You've got to rebuke it. You've got to take it to the cross. Nail it to the cross. Are you hearing me, saints of God? You got to take that. Be full of care for nothing. That means God is saying that you don't have to care about. You don't have to fall apart. You don't have to break down over anything. You can walk with power. You can walk with a smile on your face again. You can get back what the enemy has stolen. How many believes that God wants to turn it around for you? He wants to renew you again. And he's going to start in your minds. Be full of care for nothing. The peace of God which passes understanding. The peace of God will keep your minds. Isn't that foreign to most people? You don't really believe you can have peace. The kind that lets you walk out on the porch, cross your leg, drink sweet tea, and say, whoa, God is good. The kind that lets you be 82 with all kinds of doctor statements, and you sit on the porch and you swing and you just pray and the wind blows in your hair, and they say, oh, look at that one. He got nothing to worry about. I say, no, because it all is in Jesus. We're too attached to this world, aren't we? We love our lives too much, don't we? We want to self-preserve too much. What can I do to survive one more day? Why are we not more hungry to be with God? Why are we not like the Apostle Paul, who said, I am in a strait betwixt two. I am messed up. I've got a real dilemma. What's your problem, Paul? Is somebody talking bad about you? He said, no. I'm in a strait because there's part of me that wants to go to heaven and see Jesus. And all that would be glorious for me. He said, but then there's another part that knows that some of y'all need me real bad. We need to get to that place where it's not about how we can preserve our life, but it's lay our lives down. And whatever God chooses for us today, so be it. If I live, let me live. If I die, let me die. I am a winner either way. Are you hearing me today? Let's get a hold of God. Amen. He says, finally, brethren, listen, this is powerful. This is Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, I'm almost done. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says this, think on these things. My God. I'm going to buy my own tape today. My wife told me today, she said, I need that. You preach that to me. I said, yeah, I'm going to preach it to myself too. All I'm doing is sharing the intricate, mysterious, twisted, weird mind of David Lamb. This is the things that ponder on my mind all the time. And I'm trying to figure out a way to explain it to you to where you can understand. Yes, I'm fighting. Oh, depression knocks on my door sometimes. But I'm learning. I'm learning how to think again. I'm learning how to step back and cock my head to the right. Ooh, there's some joy in there somewhere. There's a lesson in there somewhere. I belong to God. I say, I belong to God. 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 That's what I say over. I belong to God. I belong to God, devil. I belong to God. I look at the bank account. I say, I belong to God. Where my children are at, I belong to God. My children belong to God. When the church starts reeling and rocking, I just begin to chant within myself, I belong to God. The church belongs to God. My mind belongs to God. My heart belongs to God. You belong to God. The devil is a liar. I shall live. This too shall pass. Is there anybody can tell me what his name is? Think on these things. Somebody say, help me think. Say it louder. Help me think. I am right now. Think on these things. Stop thinking about the one that abused you and think about the one that put his arm, her arm around you and said, I love you. Would you help me? I didn't mean to go there. I did not mean to go there. God, help me. Instead of allowing the people of the past to control your present and dictate your future, I want you to, somebody told me yesterday, said the only person that I can trust is God. And the more I think about that, because God is able. But that's not where I'm going right now, because some of you can't receive from anybody. Some of you are hurting so bad from the past that God can't really heal you. But there comes a point you got to let the walls fall down so God can step in and heal the broken pieces and put it back together. He didn't just come to save you from your sins. He come to heal you. He come to heal your minds. I know he messed with you. I know she tore you. I know they abused you, but God will never, ever hurt you. He wants to heal you today. Here's one of my favorite scriptures. Sister Ashley, Sister Beth, just come up here and sit and get ready so I'll hurry up. And get ready to sing me something. I wish I'd have put this on my screen. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. This is my verse. This is my verse. For God hath not given us. God has not given me a spirit of fear. No, he has not. God did not give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of power. I am powerful. He gave me a spirit of love. I'm filled with love. He gave me a sound mind. And if I don't have a sound mind, it means I've surrendered it. Jesus, can we recover? And he thunders today and says, pursue, you shall recover all. He's not given me a spirit of fear. The word there means timidity. He's not given us a spirit of timidity or cowardice. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind, a calm and well-balanced mind. Discipline and self-controlled mind. That's what God gave you. And if you don't have it right now, it's time to get it back because it belongs to you. I'm going to close out. I'm a grasshopper. What got me thinking about this is I heard a preacher preach one time on the grasshoppers are coming. And I shouted with everybody else when he preached it. The grasshoppers are coming. The grasshoppers are coming. And everyone rejoiced because the grass, I'm not a grasshopper. You're not a grasshopper. God doesn't see us as grasshoppers. Why do I know this? Because of the grapes of Eshcol. Grasshoppers don't eat grapes. Oh, they'll get up on the vine. They'll dance around on it. They'll smell of it. Grasshoppers don't eat grapes. I'm not a grasshopper. Grasshoppers don't eat grapes. Here's where we're at. 12 men visited Canaan. And that's what we do. You have Canaan, fruitful, victorious life. Canaan doesn't symbolize heaven. It may be an imperfect type, and you can use that if you want, if it makes you happy, but Canaan, theologically, represents a fruitful, victorious Christian life. It represents joy and peace and goodness. Power and love. And some of you have visited the land of Canaan, but I need to tell somebody it's God's will for you to leave the desert today. There's a big difference between visiting the land of Canaan and indwelling. Stab me across the house, please. Focus the mind. I've got to get my mind back. I've got to stop allowing people to control me. I've got to stop longing for that which is not and losing that which is. I've got to get my mind back. I've got to get power over this fear. I've got to get victory over this bitterness. I've got to get victory over this doubt. I'm standing here at Kadesh Barnea. I'm looking across the Jordan River, and victory is right there. God is not going to push you across. He's brought you all the way down, and right here some of you are standing on the border of Canaan. There's some giants in the land. I promise you, 6 months from now, we're going to be sitting around a campfire, and you're going to say, let me tell you what happened to me 6 months ago. I walked down into Canaan, and 17 giants come at me, and I started throwing rocks, and somehow or another, God got in them, and them giants started falling. And I don't know how God did it, but God gave us the land. Isn't it time we get some war stories? Talk to me, saints. Isn't it time we started sharing war stories instead of horror stories? It's time to start sharing stories of power and victory instead of saying, oh no, it's giants. We ought to say, check it out. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. I will, in the name of Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. Stop believing the devil. Stop believing the lies. Somebody needs to draw a line today and cross that line. You need to say, I'm forgetting those things that are behind, and I'm reaching forward under those things that are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I will no longer live on this side of Jordan. I am going across. Amen. Raise your hands. Let's give God some glory.